Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Let the filibustering begin.
Welcome to Nerd Party.
Hello, and welcome to Filibuster here on the Nerd Party Network. I'm Dallas King, and on today's show, we speak with writer-director Christos Nicou. And as Good Will Hunting would say, how do you like them apples? Amidst a world pandemic that causes sudden amnesia, middle-aged Aris finds himself enrolled in a recovery program designed to help unclaimed patients build new identities. Now, I was lucky enough to see Apples at the 2020 Venice Film Festival, and it made a lasting impression. Best described as The Lobster Meets Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Apples is out on video on demand on May the 7th with Curzon Cinemas. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoy this interview. Congratulations on the film. I saw it actually first time in Venice and loved it. It was my favourite film at the festival. And then I watched it again at Glasgow as well. So, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again when it comes out in May. I was just sort of starting off, I guess, what was the genesis for the idea behind the film? Where did it come from?
It was two different, I mean, approaches. In a way, it has two different approaches. The one was that it was a very personal story because I had that idea when I was trying to deal with the loss of my father. And I was trying to understand at the same time why people forget so easily and how selective is our memory and how you can erase something that hurts you. Could it be that we are the things we don't forget? Because in a way, we are our memories. So all these questions were in my mind. And also, as a viewer and as a filmmaker, I love watching films that create worlds, allegorical worlds that change a little bit the rules of our society. Like, for example, the movie that I wanted to be a filmmaker was when I was 14, The Truman Show. And then, of course, I love the movies of Charlie Kaufman and many other conceptual, in a way, stories. And so we tried to transfer my personal thoughts and stories in an ecumenical one and create this world that amnesia spreads like a virus. And then, yes, that's how Apple started, being from an idea, something more on the paper.
I guess kind of like Inception, was it? They say that, you know, the most strongest virus in the world is an idea. And once it sort of gets in there and starts growing, it's impossible to erase. So, I mean, this film, I mean, I guess probably when you started it, you probably didn't imagine that it would be sort of being premiered at Venice during a pandemic itself. I mean, how has that sort of played into the sort of film's release and the reception it's got? And I mean, what was it like for yourself sort of attending the festival circuit, albeit perhaps digitally?
Look, in general, for sure, it's a coincidence. It's not a prophecy. As I said, because we had the idea 6 years ago and about the script. Even if I feel that the last 10 years, we are already living in a dystopia. That right now, because for me, right now with the pandemic, I think that what we are missing more is the communication and the real in-person, in a way, communication. And I feel that that's something that it's increased the last year, but we were already dealing with that the last 10 years because we are all the time behind the screen. And we're all the time behind a cell phone or a laptop. And even right now, we're doing this interview in that way. We're not sitting somewhere in a coffee place and drinking and discussing about the film. And I hope, and I'm saying that for the pandemic, that I hope that at the end of the pandemic, this will stop and that people and everybody will return a little bit in something more normal. and we will start experience life again in a normal and different way. And for sure, for me, I hope that the movie will, I know that maybe will resonate easier right now to the audience because of the pandemic, and because there are elements in the film that are also recognizable right now easier to the audience, like because in the film we are dealing with loneliness, with isolation, with loss, with uncertainty about the future. But from the other hand, I believe that the subject of memory is something timeless, and I hope that it's not a movie that works only on this time. And also in the movie we try to give an optimistic approach and an optimistic ending about how you can deal with the pandemic. And then about the festival circuit, for sure it's it wasn't exactly what I expected when we finished the film, but for me the most important is that the movie is traveling and that people can watch it and feel it and enjoy it. And that's the most, because I'm also traveling with the film when the film travels, in a way.
Yeah. I mean, what you said there about the sort of the digital aspect versus the sort of losing the sort of personal sort of connections and stuff. I know that with a lot of the tasks that the amnesiacs have to perform, it is very much about connecting with other people, and even the sort of technology they use is very sort of analog, sort of like Leonard Shelby from Memento, sort of Polaroid camera and stuff like that. How important was it to have it basically take place with this sort of analog and sort of in-person connection, and how did you come up with the tasks, the list of tasks that they had to perform, and were there any in particular that maybe didn't make the final cut?
Yes, there were some. But, actually, not a lot. One or two, I think, that they weren't at the end. But in general, the idea behind from this is for sure to make a comment, and for the technology and for social media, and how in a way we experience life right now. Because if you will think that the tasks has the following rule, you hear something, then you have to go and imitate it, to take a selfie with a Polaroid camera and then put it in a photo album, which is exactly what people are doing right now with Instagram or TikTok challenges, that they have to watch something, then they have to live an experience, take a selfie with a Polaroid filter, and then upload it in a digital photo album in their account, on their account. And so to all the rest that they are living a life, but in a way, I don't feel that that's the way. I mean, that they care maybe more about the photo than to live the moment. And all these ideas, all these tasks, were more tasks that would try to create something that are common memories of an average person. For example, the first task that is to ride the bicycle is that, because when you will learn how to ride the bicycle, it's something that you will never forget. And it's something that is related with our childhood. And we try to create tasks that are, as I said, that are tasks of an average person, but also accidentally the doctors are making and are giving all the stars to all the amnesiacs. So accidentally they will create people with common memories. And from the other hand, also these tasks are made in a way in order to create a different emotion, because you have a different emotion when you crash a car. You have totally different emotion when you are watching a horror film, or when you are having a one-night stand, or when you are going to a costume party, or even when you are jumping from somewhere high, or even when you are dealing with a death. So, yes, that was the idea behind all these tasks.
Okay, because one of the things I was fascinated by with the film is, you sort of touched upon it there, was the the fact that with everyone being given the same tasks, you have this sort of interesting concept of identity versus individuality, where they're sort of being put back into life. But if everyone's doing the same task, they have, there is this danger, I guess, that everyone will eventually end up being the same, and everyone is losing that one, even if it's just one thing that makes them unique. And I find that quite an interesting sort of thing, where I guess, like you say, with all the social media challenges and stuff, where everyone's sort of doing the same thing, how long is it before we all end up becoming like a nation of sheep or something like that, where everyone is the same? I mean, do you feel that the world is going that way with sort of social media and stuff like that, or?
Yes, but as you said, I feel that even if we will do all of us the same tasks, even if we will leave the same memories, what we have to keep in our mind all the time, and that's what we're trying also to depict with the movies, that we have our own identity. And even if we are, because in a way we will all leave memories that are related with romance, that are related with mystery, that are related with death, that are with excitement, that are related with all these things that even the main hero is doing in his journey, or even if understands, is our life, and these are our own personal memories. And even if we are seeing something from somewhere else, that we can still build it and live it in a way that we can make them totally our own memories, and they can stay, and it's good to stay in our mind as long as it could be, and then to learn from them something. I don't know. That's for me. I feel that, that's the best way to our society is not only forgetting very easy lately, or but I feel that also we are not learning from the past, and that's the most scary thing about how we can move on with the past together.
Yeah, because I mean, this film it sort of reminded me of one of my favourite films, which is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And I think I'm not going to go into the ending of the film for anyone who hasn't seen it, because I don't want to spoil it. But I mean, there were some really interesting sort of themes similar to that film about memory, and it's the memories, whether they are, I guess, both good or bad, which make us who we are. And losing them, I guess, is losing yourself, and how important it is that to accept and sort of hold on to them, like you said at the beginning about accepting onto those memories as being part of you. And, you know, you can try to get rid of them, but ultimately you'll lose part of yourself. And I think that's a really fascinating message. And I think it really came through in the film, and it really sort of resonated with me, I think, and hopefully with others as well.
Thanks so much. And it's also for me one of my favorite films, maybe my favorite film, I don't know. I love it about how clever it is and how intelligent is the script of Charlie Kaufman. I think that Charlie Kaufman is a genius for sure. And yes, it was one of our references in a way. I mean that I know that maybe the idea is, I mean that we didn't try to copy something or to make something very similar, but we tried to analyze and go in maybe a different, totally direction, but to try to understand how our memory works and how functions and how you can, as I said before, how selective is our memory. I mean, how you can get rid of something that hurts you, which is very, because I don't, even if we did that movie, even if I did a lot of research about how our memory functions, I never understood how selective it is. I think that there is no answer about this. I think that our memory works in a way in differently for every person for sure, but also differently for every period of time for our own life. So I don't really have an answer for that, to be honest.
No, that's great. I mean, congratulations on the film. I really enjoyed it. I mean, the sort of Texas Chainsaw Massacre reference, I mean, How did you go about picking the film? I thought it was it an ironic choice in the fact that Leatherface is someone who has sort of trouble meeting new people and interacting socially when the people come to the house. Was there a sort of subtle reference there, or was it just one of your favorite films that you wanted to use?
Yes, to be honest with you, the initial idea on the script was to use another film that right now is also you can watch it in, I think, that in platform with, but with also, I mean, about Dumbo, the animation, the elephant. Because the elephant is also an animal that is connected with memory. Yeah. And we found the tagline on Dumbo that was saying that it's a movie that you will never forget. So we wanted to use that movie at the beginning and have small kids watching the movie together with our amazing heroes. But then we ended up with the idea of creating and as you said, that it's about a person, exactly as you said about how the main hero in Texas takes a massacre behaves, and yes, that was the idea to take one of the most horror, the most scary films ever, and to try to make the amnesiacs to feel emotions through that. And it was, of course, a cinematic reference, as there are much more in the movie, like even in the costume party, there are a lot of cinematic references, or when they're discussing about Titanic, or I mean, the references that are a little bit from our pop culture somehow.
Well, thanks for that. And I mean, just one sort of last question. It's sort of not related to this one, but I was looking on your IMDb and I saw that you were involved in the making of Before Midnight, which is part of my favourite trilogy of all time. So I just had to quickly ask, I mean, what was it like working on that film with Richard Linklater and Ethan Hawke in that?
It was a great experience. It's also the first two films, especially, I don't know what is my favourite. I feel like my favourite is Before Sunset. And the ending with Nina Simone and
me too. Yeah,
you're right. He laughs and he says, "I know." I mean that it's a great one of the best endings ever. Yes, because I loved so much these two films, and this movie was shot in Greece. I was very excited working on that movie, and I felt that what I loved was the way that the three of them were like one voice. And also the family environment that they created on set, which was incredible. And also something else that I really admire in Richard Linklater is that he's a filmmaker that you can feel totally in his movies how much he loves cinema. And that's something that I always admire in filmmakers, when they're having, when you can feel about that they love cinema so much.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that, and thank you for your time for today, and good luck with the release of the film in the UK. I can't wait to see it in a cinema with audiences. Hopefully won't be too long before we're back in the cinemas, and I'll be spreading the word and making sure as many people see it as possible from my end anyway.
Thank you very, very much for your words, and yes, and I hope that I will also be able to travel maybe in UK and be and watch the movie with the audience and to feel, and because I have seen the movie only in Venice. I haven't seen it since Venice. I don't know if you were in Venice or...
Yeah, no, I was in Venice, yeah. So the first day I was there, so it was the first film I saw. So, and yeah, it was the best film I saw there. It stayed with me throughout the whole thing and months later. So yeah, it's one I'm not going to forget anyway, unlike the main character maybe.
Thank you.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Welcome to Nerd Party.